think I told it. This always messes me up. If I say the message isn't going to be too long, it'll be about 10 minutes longer than what normally is. According to my notes, I don't think it'll be too long, but you never know where God's going to go with something. Got all the kids all excited about Christmas. Man, they're all ready to go. It's good, huh? It's good. Luke chapter 1, read a little bit of this story, and then I got one text, and I'll break off to skip a little bit and go to another couple of verses. But in verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And then going over to verses 46, not that the other ones aren't important, but in context of what I want to talk to you about, would stay here. In verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed the strength of his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. The title of the message this morning is The Spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas. And as I mentioned this last week, when we start thinking about Christmas, I mentioned a lot of the traditions that we have in Christmas. You know, the decorations are certainly traditional things. I'm looking on our tree. There's a little ornament. I mean, it's not a high dollar unit. It's a little clear round little tube. It's got a little gold thing on it. A little bell hangs on the bottom. In the middle of it in there is like a little haystack with like a stork, I think it is, standing on top of the haystack. I don't know what that has to do with Christmas. I guess you could use your imagination and go with that. When I was a kid, we had it. And I don't know, I was just fascinated with that being inside that plastic thing. It was always my favorite ornament. My mom, I think, wanted to bag the thing like, you know, when I was a kid. I said, well, you know, I want to hang. She goes, oh, you want to hang that? Yeah. She goes, well, put it back here, you know. That's a tradition with me. I got it in the front of my tree. So, you know, this year, it's getting old. It's, you know, it's old looking thing. And, you know, I had some I made out of, we took the egg crates and cut the little things that the eggs set in when I was in kindergarten, tied them together like bells upside down on yarn. I colored them with a crayon. Still got that. You know, tradition, right? We got those traditions. We've got decorations. We have, you know, all the other things that we do. I mean, we've got wreaths and candles. We decorate the house inside, outside. A lot of times, holly is something that you think about. You know, like, say, the wreaths on the door. We do Christmas carols, the songs that are just centered around Christmas. We do plays. We have dinners, parties, visits, whatever we got. We do them. Listen, I don't have a problem with none of them things. Honestly, I don't. I like it. I got a Christmas tree. If you don't like a Christmas tree, that's okay with you. I like mine. I'm not worshiping my tree. I just got a tree. Amen. You know, I like the way it smells. We put the lights on it. There's a Christmas story in that. If you want to look at that, I don't have a problem with those things right there, really. And I like that. Boy, I like the smell. We got the certain scented candles, you know, Yankee candle. Nothing beats a Yankee candle that smell like a Christmas tree. You know, we got those things. I like all that. The food, of course, everybody likes the food, whether we're having Christmas or not. But we know, and I like to buy the gifts. I like to buy gifts and wrap them up and get them all ready and exciting when you do that. I get all that. Like I said a couple weeks ago, Christmas is about the giving and the getting, because God gave and we got. You know, I mean, it's all about giving and getting, right? I like all that. But despite all that sometimes, and I saw something on Facebook just this week, a few days ago, somebody said, I'm having a hard time getting in the Christmas spirit. It just doesn't feel Christmassy, you know, or something like that. We've all probably said that from time to time. With all the running around that we do, I understand why. It's hard to get in the Christmas spirit. And so I thought about it. You know, these other things are supposed to get us in the mood, and I suppose they do help to some degree. But like I said, sometimes we just seem to struggle getting in the Christmas spirit. So I thought about that. That's what kind of inspired me to get this message together. Think about the first Christmas that we looked at. Here it is. We've got the angel talk to Mary about the birth, and then of course we've already read some of the stories about the wise men. If you come back tonight, I'll be on that point right there. We'll look at that a little closer. I'll show you some things about that. Actually, I like my message tonight. I haven't preached them yet, and it may be the other way around. But I like my outline I got for tonight better than the one I got for today. But anyway, just lay that on you. But in the first Christmas, think about this. They had no precedent. There wasn't any tradition, right? There was nothing, you know, because this is the first one. There wasn't anything to go along with that. And so I thought, well, what did they do? You know, what did they do? And I started looking at what Mary had to say in verses 46 down through 56. What they had to say. And that's what I wanted to kind of base this on today. And it would really relate to what we should do. We should do the same thing, you know, that Mary did. The very first thing is, the very first point, it's got three things to talk to you about this morning, is that she glorified God. The very first thing, the very first Christmas, glorified God, which we could also put the subtitle out there, praise, alongside that. Look at verse 46 and verse 47. And the Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Those two things right there. So we see this, that the real Christmas, the real spirit of Christmas, is glorifying God. That's, and I'm going to tell you what, the reason that we don't always feel Christmassy is we're trying to do everything under the sun but glorify God. We're trying to get, you know, we've Christmas God right out of the picture a lot of times. I said last week, we've got all the other thing. We've got Santa, elves, snowmen, everything else that can take the place of Christ. And so we've tried to have a manufacturer and buy at the store the Christmas spirit that we would have in our hearts if we would just glorify God and praise God. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's nothing wrong with it. It's pretty. Like I said, we can have those things too, but the Christmas spirit is wrapped up in worshiping God. It's all about Him. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I mean, man, you're getting on revival ground here when it's with your soul. See, I'll get you in a minute on our lips, but a lot of times we can go through the motions so much, it can be so superficial or on the external only that it's not our soul that's really doing it. Like when we get here today, we're supposed to worship God. This message may go longer than I thought. We're supposed to worship God, but you know what? If it's a different thing to just be here here physically and we stand up when Paul says stand and sit down when he says sit down and sing the songs, our lips are moving while our mind is off somewhere else, wandering around in the universe, cyberspace, I guess. And we're not worshiping God with our soul. Man, I mean, this is who you are, your being. Our soul is the seat of our desires, our affections, and our emotions. That's our soul. And man, we would be worshiping God that way. Huh? You'd be in the Christmas spirit. You would be in this Christmas spirit not only on December 25th. How about December 26th, 27th, 28th, May the 1st? It wouldn't make no difference. I mean, we would be in the Christmas spirit if we really magnified God with our soul and worship God with our soul. And then it says, and she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God. Spirit, the spirit there is life, man. This is life. It connects, the spirit connects the heart, the mind, and the body, all one thing. Now think about that. If we got our heart, our mind, and our body, which would have our desires and affections and emotions all together, our soul and spirit, and we're magnifying God. Oh, brother, we gonna have church, huh? I mean, it would be a great day. At any church, I'll just say Valley View Baptist Church, if we all got to church that way, if we already done this all week long and we got down here, boy, what a Christmas we would have if we would just magnify God and not let all the distractions take us away from doing that. I think we can get it all done. Honestly, I think we can. But, this is what they did the first Christmas. Boy, she glorified God. I mean, that's no precedent for anything else. I imagine there wasn't a lot of decorating going on in a manger, that would take place. And so the first Christmas produced a great many positive things for those that were involved in that first Christmas. Mary, we think about it, she had a song in her heart. Actually, verses 46 down through verse 55 is a song. It is a song. So she was kind of singing that along. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. And, when you think about this, when you think about joy, and we know joy is like a lasting thing. It's not dictated by, this is how we denote joy from just happiness. Happiness can kind of come and go, but joy is a permanent thing. It's not dictated by the circumstance, outward circumstances there. There was a lot of things that could have kept joy and praise out of Mary's heart at that particular time. Think about it, ladies, those of you that have had children, when you being with child, being that close and having to travel in those days. Donkey back, camel back, whatever that, yeah, here we got one over here. So let's hop on a camel or whatever you're going to ride on and we'll bump you on over to Bethlehem somewhere, and then find out, hey, guess what? They messed your reservations up. No reservations, and so the only place we can find is out there where the animals are staying, mooing and eating and other business that animals do. Because a manger is a feeding trough. I mean, that's you ever been around a bunch of cattle? I've been around cattle. My uncle had cattle. It's a feeding trough. Old slobbering cow got her head stuck down in there, and all that. That's what she had, a manger. That's where they fed the animals. So there could have been a lot of things where they didn't have room. They just had a long trip. It's bad enough riding in a car for a long way sometimes. Older you get, boy, you get out. I watch old people now, and I'm one of them. You get out of the car when you've been riding. Like we go to Colorado, and you ride for hours, hours, hours. You get out of the car, and then here you are going into the store. Till everything starts working again, man. And I'm sure you've been on that ride a couple of times, man. All you're doing is sitting. You can't do it. Well, so that could have took her joy, and they had to do the census, so they had to travel back to their town of their birth, where they're from. And the political situation, listen, wasn't real good in that day either. Rome was on the ruling, and it was some tense times, and there was a caste system, somewhat not probably a written one, but there was only two classes of society. There was the very wealthy and the very poor. There wasn't a middle class like we have a big middle class in this country, but there was wealthy and poor, and they were on the poor end of things. They were poor people. So, how we struggle, money problems, this bill, that bill. Well, they had the same things, all those things, the circumstances that were going on. And so we think about that. But you know what, Mary, this is what Mary did. This is what praise does. Praise gets your eyes, and worship gets your eyes off of you, off of your, because if you're thinking about your circumstance, it's still self-centered. You're still thinking about self. Oh, woe is me, this problem, that problem, this problem, that. When you get your eyes on God, see, it don't matter about the circumstance. We're just praising God. That's what they did. So they got their eyes on God, and she had her eyes on God. She, seven times in those verses down through there, she used the phrase, he hath, talking about God. He hath. Ah, man, what have you done? You know, I underlined him there. He said, he went on, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. In verse 49, he that is mighty hath, so there's he hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. He hath holpen, which means help, his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. So she knew that the Savior coming was an answer to the prophecies that had to do with Israel. She knew all that, and that's why she was really speaking a lot about that. Not only what God was doing for her, but doing for the nation as a whole, what he was going to be doing here. And so everything he hath, it was all about God. And she got herself focused on God. And so not about the circumstances. Like I said, if we got our mind on our situation, it's still on self and not on God. So, boy, we see right here. And she said, boy, my soul doth magnify the Lord. See, it's not the what of Christmas. It's the who of Christmas. That she got her mind on the Lord. Boy, that'll get you in the Christmas spirit right there. Year round, by the way, not just one day a week. Magnify the Lord. That's the spirit of Christmas. The second thing we see in our text in verse 47, she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. So we see that word joy. I don't have the outline alliterated. Sometimes I spend more time trying to do that than I do working on the rest of the notes. I didn't feel like hassling with it. So we got joy. See, so joy in connection with the spirit of Christmas. I mean, that's what it should produce. And so, as I said a few minutes ago, this is a song. She had a song. So here you are, ladies, about to have a baby. You had to travel on some kind of an animal back to get to where you're going through rough terrain, dangerous places too, a lot of times. You've got a mysterious thing going on in your body. The Holy Spirit of God has overcome you. And now you're going, you got to do the census, and you got to find a place to stay. All the things I mentioned before. She's singing. Singing in her heart. Isn't that a product of joy? Huh, man, I mean, they're singing. Boy, when you whistle while you work or whatever, you know, when it's not, listen, she didn't have a song leader telling her, all right, Mary, it's time to stand and we're going to sing three verses of a four-verse song like we do. We're going to sing three verses. And no, there was no song leader, no command. Nobody said, hey, you're supposed to sing. You know what? So where were we at? We're back to the soul and spirit, right? When it's spontaneous. When it's spontaneous. When somebody, like, we get in here, man, and you're already singing before Paul gets you ready to sing. And, man, when you're singing from the heart and when you're singing from the soul, it's a different deal, right? Huh? I mean, when I just say, okay, look, I'm going to command you all, you're going to have joy. Let me get us. If I had a big stick, if you don't have joy, I'm going to thump you. You're going to have joy. And you're going to magnify God. And you're going to praise God. And if you don't, you're going to get thumped. And, you know, we could do that. Or when it's out of your soul and your spirit, like we sing the songs we kind of mumble through. But, boy, when it's in your heart, man, when you're singing with all your voice, whether you can sing or not, and there's plenty of those. When you're singing with all your heart loud, I mean, it's just coming out, man, you're so excited about something. Joy, right? Boy, what a difference. This is Mary singing because she just couldn't help it. She was singing from her heart and soul. When we see later in the Christmas story when the angel appeared to the shepherds, Boy, it said the angel appeared and said, "We have bring you good tidings of great joy." That was the good news, which shall be to all peoples. And the angels praised God. And the Bible says the shepherds rejoiced and glorified God. Oh, man, who told them to do that? They didn't have a precedent. They didn't have it. Well, that's what we're supposed to do because it's Christmas. No, man, it was natural. It was a natural thing. It just came because this was what it was. This is the spirit of Christmas there. It says, you know, she says, "My soul doth magnify." Her spirit was filled. It was overflowing. It was overflowing. And this is what leads to joy in our lives, praise in our lives. Her song contained quotations from the Old Testament. She had scripture in the song. This is what was on her mind. She just had God's word in her heart. God's word in her heart. Man, if you get God's word in your heart, that's how you really can rejoice no matter the circumstance, see. No matter what you're going through, boy, Holy Spirit, bring a verse to your mind. Just something pops up in your mind. I told y'all a few weeks about me and Sari. Sometime we get in there and we're saying, "Oh, man, woe is me, look at this, look at that, this problem, that problem." And then we just start laughing and look at each other and say, "Well, we're just going to rejoice. We're just going to praise God, man." You know what? That's what you do. And it's funny, even though we're saying that, we start laughing. And we really do that. You know, I mean, we really do that. It really just, we can just praise God. And we know verses of Scripture that go with every problem that we have, every situation that comes along in our life. Get our mind on God. And so here it was. She could quote the Old Testament because she had the Word of God in her heart. That's the lesson for you right there. Boy, how did she have it? She'd read it and heard it and read it and heard it and read it and heard it all the time. The Word of God knew what it was. Mary had joy and praise in her soul and her spirit because of what God did for her. In verse 47, she said, "My Savior, my Savior." Buddy, this is it. She said, listen, you know, a lot of times you hear the Virgin Mary. Listen, she's not the Virgin Mary any longer. She had Jesus, and then she had other children through her husband Joseph. So she's still not the Virgin. She's not the Virgin Mary today, or wasn't after long after that. She wasn't. And a lot of people think that Mary. There's people that pray to Mary. Listen, Mary is not the one to pray to. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, her son. Mary was not sinless. She was not sinless. There was other women that could have been chosen to do this. God did choose her. She was a faithful woman. She was a godly woman. Trust me on that. But I'm going to tell you something. She wasn't sinless. She needed a Savior just like you and I. That's why she even said that. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That's what she said right there. She had to have a Savior. Boy, the only you know, that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" It's got that in the words there. Did you know that the child you delivered would one day deliver you? I mean, it was, you know, she was going to have to trust in him down the road as well. And so, listen, God chose her. Like I said, he said in verse 48, look what he said. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth shall all generations call me blessed," or blessed, however you want to read that. And, he was mindful of her. He took note. He took that. There's no doubt in my mind that there were other women that could have been chosen. There were other godly women in the world at that time. She wasn't the only one, but this is the one that God chose, Mary and Joseph. We put a lot on Mary, but Joseph was going to be Jesus's father, his earthly father, raising him up, and he was a godly man as well. And God even spoke to him. So it was, she was mindful of this, but it was grace. It was the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God. Now, nobody gets what they deserve for Christmas. Nobody gets what they deserve for Christmas. We didn't deserve Jesus, huh? No. You think about this. Remember when you was kids, we got a little song, you know, "You better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town." Remember that? So if you better be good, right? And guess what? Most of us, how many of you still weren't good? Huh? And how many of you still got your present? They threaten you, you know, "Well, I'm going to take all your presents back," right? They take, but they didn't do it. They went ahead and gave them to us anyway. And listen, here's God. Listen, if God gave us what we deserve, you know what we'd have got for Christmas? Huh? We've been on the A train to hell. We wouldn't have had a Savior. I mean, that was it. We did. Nobody gets what they deserve. Because even if we had to be good to get the presents from our parents, we wouldn't get nothing. Huh? Mom and Dad didn't save you a lot on the checkbook, a lot on the credit card this Christmas. Oh, yep, you were bad. Nothing for Christmas. That's it. Take them all back. Take them all back. So we never get what we deserve. She believed God. She yielded to God's will. That was it. She believed God and she yielded to God's will. Did God know already in his omniscience that she would yield to his will? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He knew she would. God performed a miracle in her life to bring this in the Savior of the world. Think about that. And then we see what God did for us. What God did for her was chose her to be the mother of the Savior of the world, the human mother. In verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. So we see, in verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Boy, the helpless, the humble, and the hungry. Man, God meets every need right there. It's a three-point outline for you right there. The helpless, the humble, the hungry. He came to meet those needs. And you know, we look at God, you know, God used kind of the weak things of the world, the Bible says. He used Mary and Joseph, who were poor, to meet the needs of the world in that sense. Of course, it was all him. The angels appeared to poor shepherds as well. Why do you think? And it seemed like I said, there was two classes of society. It didn't mean that the rich people couldn't get saved. It didn't mean that kings couldn't get saved. There were kings that got saved. There was people that were wealthy that got saved. They say Joseph of Arimathea that had a tomb for Jesus to be buried in. He wasn't a poor man, or he wouldn't have had a tomb to be buried in. So there's people there. But you know, the poor people, they're, because these people, they know what they are. Huh? The rich people think they're more than they are because of their money, but the poor knew. They were the ones that were looking for hope. They had no other hope in any other thing. They didn't have any other hope, and I think that's one of the reasons why that the angels and God spoke to the poor of the world, boy, because it gave everybody else hope. And so he appeared to the shepherds, and he appeared to Joseph and Mary. And like I say, the rich were not left out. The Magi, hey, there's a good, we talked about the Magi a week or two ago. Here they were, wise men. They were wealthy enough to have an entourage. They were wealthy enough to leave whatever they had going on to come and find that baby Jesus. It was a couple, you know, some time later, maybe within a year, probably, or two, sometime within 2 years, they came to see Joseph and Mary. So, see baby Jesus. There they were. They were wealthy men. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Boy, if God had to depend on us to bring a lot of gold, he wouldn't get too much probably. But they had money. They were wealthy, but they still saw the need to come to Jesus. So the rich weren't left out from that. It seemed like a lot of poor, which there probably were more poor than there were rich. And then also in them, we see the drawing power of Jesus. Here's the thing right here, man. We've tried to manufacture that. We try to have smoke, mirrors, entertainment, clowns, big name bands, you name it. You know, we try to do all kind of things to draw people to, you know, we're going to have dinners. We're going to have this day and that day. Listen, Jesus has got all the drawing power that we need. Listen, if Christ is seen in us, people are going to flock to you to find out what it is. They're going to flock. When we're filled with Jesus and we have church and we go out of here and it's magnified in our heart and it's flowing out of our life and we got a song on our lips and a praise on our lips and we got the Word of God in our heart and on our lips, out of our lips, I'm going to tell you what, people are going to fill up the churches trying to find out what's going on. That's all we got to have. Nothing wrong with the other things, but we're trying to substitute something for Christ in our life, in our church, in our home. And I'm going to tell you what, it is never going to work. You can forget about it. Get it straight this Christmas. It's got to be Jesus. We got to magnify him, and that'll be the drawing power of Jesus. And then the last thing we see is worship. As I mentioned, this is the praise that Mary has. The verses from 46 to 55 are a song that she was, and it was a magnification of the Lord. There was joy. Listen, that's what worship. That's really what worship is. It aggravates me to no end in the in this day and time in the church age that we live in. If somebody says to you, "Oh, who's the worship leader?" The very first thing that everybody thinks, "Oh, it's the guy that leads the singing." No, sir, that's not the worship leader, really. That's not it. I'm going to tell you, I am the worship leader. I had a lady call me about that because I'm the pastor of the church. So I'm leading us in worship. Singing is part of worship, but that's not it. We've got everybody believing that worship is just singing. Listen, you can worship God and never say a thing, huh? You don't have to be led in that, right? It's the Word of God, and it's like, so worship is not something. I guess you can be led as far as the organization of it, but it's not something that you have a four-step program for. This is what we're going to do. Worship is coming out of the heart and soul. And when our relationship with God is, and we focused on Him, then the worship is just going to flow out naturally. It's going to be here. We wouldn't have to lead in a thing. Y'all would get here and God would just take over. Huh? We might do it all backwards. We might preach the message first, do all the singing, and take up the offering last. Might even be a better idea. Huh? Huh? I mean, we might do it all different. It might just be all different. We might never get to preach. There might be so many people testifying of the power of God, of the glory of God, just praising Him for who He is, not what He's done, but who He is. We may never get to the preaching of the Word of God. Huh? Somebody may just start out there, might not even be Paul, might be somebody out here, just start singing, everybody else just joins in. That's the way, you look in Acts, that's how it was. That's how it was. Read about revivals that have happened where God showed up, and that's how it was. That's exactly how it was. Man, the shepherds. Who told the shepherds? Mary, who told the shepherds to go? They said amongst themselves, the angel appeared, says, "Here's the good news. The child's going to be born. Now I want you right now to drop what you're doing, drop that sheep, and get over there and work." No. No, there's no command there for that. Just appeared, and this is it. They looked at each other and said, "Man, let's go see this. Huh? Let's go see this." They weren't worried about no stinking sheep. There's people not here today, right now. Got to have the little truth of the message, you know. There's people not here today, right now. You know why? They so busy getting ready for Christmas that they couldn't come to church. Huh? Amen. Them shepherds had sheep to watch. Huh? They ain't worried about a stinking sheep. Jesus is laying there, man. We're going to go see the Savior of the world. Forget it. Forget the rest of it. We'll get back to the sheep. I believe I've said this before. I believe God protected everyone. I believe when they got back, they wasn't scattered. They was all there. Might have had a couple extra ones in there. They didn't have when they left. Huh? I don't believe a missing sheep. I don't believe it was a sheep missing when they got back. Huh? I believe, boy, they had a good year after that. Huh? No, they didn't care about the sheep. They went to Jesus to see Jesus, to worship, and nobody told them to do it. It was spontaneous. That's Christmas. The wise men came. They read some scriptures. I mean, they heard from God, but they weren't commanded to go. They wanted to go, and God said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a star in the sky so you can find Him." And I'm going to tell you what, Mike Vest really expounded on that one time at Bible camp, of all places. It was in the middle of summer. And he talked about it. It wasn't a regular star. Because I said this a couple weeks ago, you can go out here and look at the star tonight and you can walk the rest of the year and you're not going to get under that thing. It was down lower in the atmosphere. It was like from God. And they followed that thing. It was a supernatural star and it stayed right over where the child was, right over Bethlehem, right over where they found their way. They wanted to worship God. And let me say, God said, "I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to provide a way." And buddy, they made it. They got there. That's the spirit of Christmas. God in His great mercy regarded us. He looked down on us. He said, "What? You know, how many of you struggled with what to buy somebody? Huh? So, Amy, what are you going to get? What do we need to get? What are we going to? You want to give somebody something that they want, right?" Well, God looked down and said, not that He had to think like we do. He knew before the foundation of the world what we needed. But if He was in a human vision, What do they need? They need a Savior from their sin. Someone give them exactly what they want. Hopefully you'll get something that you want from man this Christmas, but we may get something that we don't want, or we don't need, or we don't even know what it is. He knew exactly what our need was. And His desire is to fill us with good things. Mary sung about it. To fill us with good things. The first Christmas was all about the glory of God, His wisdom, His love, His grace, His mercy, His gift. The gift of eternal life, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You'll never get a gift like that. You're never going to get a gift like that. That's God's gift to you. The question is, have you received the gift, you know, that God has offered you by faith? Received that gift, trusted Him for forgiveness of your sin, seen your need of a Savior. You know, you have to see that first. God's got that offer still there, and it doesn't have to be Christmas Day, but it's a good day. Boy, wouldn't it be a good day to get saved on Christmas Day? Amen. God spoke to your heart. You need to be saved. Come on up here, and I'll show you what the Bible said. Just take a few minutes of your time, and you can be saved if God's speaking to your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. I surrender all. Let's stand together. Hymn 308.